Okay, praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Give Jesus a big hand of praise. And we can go ahead and take care of kingdom business. Amen? All right, take your Bible in your hand and hold it up in the air up high. If you don't have a Bible but you have a smartphone, and you ought to be standing on your feet, you young men. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on, repeat this after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never be the same. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. If you believe in that confession, it will happen. It's not wishful thinking. It's not three wishes and rub the bottle and the genie comes out and all of that other stuff. You may be seated. Praise God. All of those things that we learned from television, cartoons, and things of that nature. I'm going to try not to be very long today. We've heard that before. But in sincerity, because we like to try and, you know, trim things down a little bit, but when the Holy Ghost takes over, you just have to let him go. You know, to box him in would be to our detriment. It's amazing how we can do things in today's time. We're living in this fast-paced generation. And our attention span is getting shorter and shorter. I tell you, boy, I know marijuana had something to do with attention span. You know that's the truth anyhow. Why are they legalizing this stuff if they know? Excuse me, I'm trying to get this technology to operate properly. I'll be there in just a second. It's trying to tell me that it's not connecting. There we go. Come on. Deacon Patton, what you do? I'll have to go old school if you don't act right. Turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 3. I want to start there, but I want to, probably for the next couple of weeks, we've been sharing about the life of Joseph. We shared about the revelation of the ladder extending from earth to heaven. And about Jacob's dream, and then going through 20 years of slavery. Well, 20 years this one's in slavery. I'm getting ahead of myself. 20 years of being under his uncle Laban's rule, and his uncle Laban was just like Jacob was, a trickster, a deceiver, a supplanter. And God used that to build character in Jacob's life. Jacob, on his way to stay with his uncle Laban, he went there for a couple of reasons. One, to escape the wrath of his brother Esau, because he stole Esau's birthright and took Esau's blessing. And then, two, to find him a wife, because they did not want him to take a wife from the nations that were around them. They were a nightmare to both Isaac and Rebecca. And, you know, the lesson there is that you don't need to go out into the world to choose your mate. Choosing from the household of faith. And if you don't find them there, it's because it's just not time. But you don't have to compromise your stand or your walk by, you know, going out to the club to find someone. And then you're going to try and bring them to church or her to church. And, you know, and it's like, well, if they come to church, well, you know, Lord will work with them and stuff like that. Or you find yourself compromising your relationship with Jesus because your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That ungodly person, their body is not the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost don't dwell in them. But he does dwell in you if you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So you don't want to compromise your walk. You don't want to take what is holy and contaminate it with that which is unclean. Amen? It's not that you're better than anybody. You just acknowledge your sins and your transgressions, and you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and that makes you different. You are now a son of God and not a or daughter of God and not a son of the devil or a daughter of the devil. You've been delivered from the world, and so you don't just settle for anything. If that person is not walking with Jesus, and make sure, just because they got saved yesterday, don't think that, okay, they're marriage material now, bless God. No, you give them an opportunity to prove themselves and their commitment to Jesus, because if they cannot commit to Jesus, then more than likely they're not going to commit to you, okay? So you'll only learn true love from Jesus. You won't learn it from the world. You won't learn it from books written by special authors or, you know, philosophers and things like that. No, you'll learn about true agape love, unconditional love, from your God and Father and Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. So the message is no, don't go into the world to find your mate. Find them in the household of faith. Hallelujah. Now, if you've had a relationship out there before you came to Jesus, that's one thing. You got married before you came to Jesus, that's one thing. There's no condemnation in that. If one of you gets saved and the other one is still unsaved, you don't have to say, well, because I'm saved and you're not saved, I'm divorcing you. No, if that unrighteous person still wants to hang out with you, then you just hang out with them. Bless God. Amen. You believe God for their salvation. Okay, it happened out there in the world. This is a little teaching. It happened out in the world. This is for the up and coming that are up and coming. Before you know it, man, you'll be 21, then you'll be 30, and then you'll be, you know, 40, and then you'll be saying, man, I'm 55 years old. I remember when Pastor Killings kept saying he was 55, and here I am. It goes by so fast. I could remember the day that Ariel and Felicia were born. I could see them coming out of the womb. I could, you know, and here they are. You know, one is 31, the other one is 27, 6? I gave you a year. I gave. Oh, it's coming up. It's coming up. I was cool. I was cool. And Pastor Lucille, when she told me about Jacob and how he got his name, I was just like blown away. She was like, I wrestled with him. And I was like, wow, praise God. She was serious. His name is Christian Jacob. So, you know, the years go by quick, and you want to redeem the time and make the most of those years because they go by so fast. So we go from Jacob and his dilemma with Laban, and he comes back home and all with his children. He's got 12 sons and a daughter. And one of his sons is special to him, and his name is Joseph. Joseph, as the scripture says, is Jacob's son of his old age. So Jacob was way up there in age when Rachel conceived and gave birth to Joseph, and then she named him Joseph and said, because she was going to have, that the Lord will bless me with another. And so the Lord did bless her with another, but that was it for her. She died after that. But here we are with Joseph, and he is the favorite of Jacob. And Jacob loved his son so much, he made him a coat of many colors. It was a distinguishing coat. And
Joseph, I'm sure he just wore that coat and he just wore it before his brothers, like, check me out kind of thing. And he was a handsome young man coming up. And because of the parents' affection for one over the other, it produced jealousy. He dealt with that with his parents. He dealt with that with Isaac and Rebekah. Isaac was drawn to Esau, and Rebekah was drawn to Jacob. And so Jacob carried that spirit on into his generation, because there's generational spirits that will go from one generation to the next. And you'll see that Abraham lied and said, Sarah, tell them you're my sister. And so Isaac picked up that lie too, and he said, you know, Rebekah, tell them you're my sister. And so, you know, some things pass from one generation to the next. Alcoholism can pass from one generation to the next. Drug use can pass from one generation to the next. But when Jesus shows up, it's just like Eisenhower said, the buck stops here. I think he's famous for that term. And so whatever family curses is trying to come your way, in Jesus' name, you can say the buck stops here. That transferring spirit, that familiar spirit will not come and take over my life. I will not be a victim of what my father or my mother was a victim to. Amen? And I'm not going to blame them for my dilemmas and my bad decisions. I'm going to accept and take my own responsibility, quit pointing the finger, and say, I'm wrong and I need to get right. And the only one who's going to get me right is not your mama, not your daddy, not the boy in the alley. Jesus is the only one that's going to fix you up, make you right. So I said, go to Acts chapter 3, and there's a reason why I want to go here. I want to go here for several reasons, but one of the reasons is because, as you've heard me share, and you also heard what Pastor Lucia as well, we don't want you to be crippled in your faith, in your walk with Jesus. We don't want you to become so dependent on man that you forget that your dependency is supposed to be on God. Amen? Because man can't go everywhere you go, but God can. His spirit is with you wherever you go. You can make your bed in hell and God will be right there with you saying, are you ready to repent and get out of this place? I'm ready to take you out. You know, you can make your bed, you can go up and ascend into heaven and he's there. Wherever you go, you can't escape God's presence. He will be there. So you need to learn how to rely more upon the Holy Spirit, because he's the helper, he's the intercessor, he's the advocate, he's the counselor, he's the teacher, he's the instructor, and he will never leave you. He won't abandon you, he won't forsake you. Everybody else might abandon you or forsake you, but the Lord will be right there by the presence of his Spirit with you. Amen? So you need to really start to depend more upon the Holy Ghost and God's word that's given to you to stand on. It's not like we're getting tired or we don't want to pray for people. That's our ministry. That's our calling. That's the nature of a minister, is to minister and bless the people as he ministers unto God and gives them what God says. So it's not that, but some of us, you know, if we just leave you alone, you just keep going around that mountain, you know, and just keep on going around that mountain and keep on going around that mountain, and you just never get tired of that lap. You know, and sometimes we have a tendency to cripple. We cripple our own children by not letting them grow up and not letting them, you know, experience life for themselves, if you will, and learn on their own. They might have to go to the school of hard knocks like we did. Amen? You know, when we got to a certain age, couldn't nobody tell us anything. We knew everything. And, you know, the older generation, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. Well, they knew what they were talking about. We just didn't want to hear what they had to say. They could have saved us a lot of heartache and pain if we would have listened. But because we didn't, we had to learn at the school of hard knocks. And so we want to help to prevent people from doing that. But, you know, you're like an eagle. Amen? You don't hang around with the buzzards, praise God, and you don't just, you know, fly with the rest of the flock. No, you're called to soar. Isaiah said it best. He says, they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like a buzzard, like a clarion, like a seagull. like a sparrow. There's a reason why the Holy Spirit inspired Isaiah to say an eagle, because there's certain traits and characteristics about an eagle that no other bird has. Amen. One of the abilities is to be able to fly above storms. Glory to God. Mount up with wings as eagles. Run and not be weary. Walk and not faint. They that wait on the Lord. And so the scriptures liken you to an eagle. And from what I've learned about an eagle is when she has her little eaglets, those eaglets will stay in the nest, you know, till they're adults. And they be, you know, wings all over the place. No room in the nest, but they're still staying there because they're so used to mom and dad bringing the food and feeding them. But the eagle will put them on her wings and will take them out there and show them what they're all about. Praise God. So they'll take flight, and the birds are happy and say, wee, 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 wee. Yeah, we're having a good time. Woo, go, mom, go, mom, go, mom, go, mom. Foom. Whoa! And then all of a sudden they're starting to fall, and they're going to have to flap their wings, if you will. And if they don't flap their wings, the eagle will watch them. And before they hurt themselves, she will swoop down underneath and grab them and bring them back up. But the whole point of that is that, no, you're not meant to stay in the nest. You're meant to get out there and soar and fend for yourself in Jesus' mighty name. And so we're trying to turn this thing around so that you're an eagle, not just when you come in here, because our praise is like eagles. I mean, there you, praise God. I think it was Pastor Arul who said it years ago. He says, this church knows how to praise God. That's one thing, knows how to praise God. But you got to be able to soar. Soar when you're alone. Soar when nobody's watching you. Soar in the midst of adversity. Soar when the pressure's on. Soar like an eagle and not crumble and crush, because we can't always be there. Here again, we're not saying that we're tired or we're giving up or we don't love you or anything like that. But, and it's not for everybody, but it is for many that are here. You're not meant to be weak. Amen. You're not meant to be leaning on a crutch. You're supposed to be founded on a rock. You're not supposed to be overcome with evil, but you're supposed to conquer evil with good. Amen. You're not supposed to, well, the Lord knows and he'll deliver me from it one day. Jesus says, now is the day of salvation. Now is the time. Now is the day of salvation is the day of your deliverance. Bless God. Amen. I'm preaching better than some of you responding, probably because it's, you're saying ouch. But in the ouch, rejoice. Amen? Rejoice, because daddy's just taking you for a ride, and he's about to drop the wing and let you go. Amen. Because he's saying you can do this thing. It's like teaching children how to walk. You know, they take a couple of steps, and they fall over. But no good parent will tell them, you'll never make it. You'll never be anything. You'll never mount up to anything. You're just like your old daddy. You're just like your mama. You're just like, you know, and beat them down. No, you lift them back up and say, come on, you can do this. You can do this. The word today, you're going to make it. You can do this. You can run. You can walk. You can soar. You can fly in the things of God. And Acts chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, it says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer before the ninth hour, which was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried. Now, I want to look at something. I'm not trying to add to or take away from. But I want to look at that. It says, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried. So all this man's life, he depended on somebody else to do things for him. And he's about 30-something, or I forget what age he is, 30 or 40. But he's up in age now. He's a grown man all his life. And as an adult, he depended on people to pick him up. They probably didn't have wheelchairs in those days, but pick him up, bring him to the temple, and sit him there and let him beg for alms. And because, you know, his age is about 30 years or something like that, you know that in Jesus' day, Jesus, when he was on the earth, that man was alive. And that man was a cripple.
Sometimes you can be in a place for such a long time that you grow acclimated or accustomed to it, and you think that's just the way of life, and you become settled with it. Now, Jesus was going by and healing people. It was, I think they were saying, blind Bartimaeus. It's been on, I've heard a few ministers share this insight about blind Bartimaeus, that he knew that this was Jesus' last time coming through. And so if Jesus didn't heal him, he would miss out on healing. Because now Jesus is going to be crucified on the cross to die for all the sins of humanity. But he cried out for his healing. He cried out, Lord Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the people tried to quiet him down. But he yelled out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. What do you want? I want to receive my sight. I want to see. And Jesus healed him. This man is crippled. And more than likely, he was crippled during the time that Jesus was on the face of this earth. But this particular day is a setup for him. It's an opportunity for him. And today is your opportunity as well to rise up out of that place where you're at and get on with the things that God wants to do in and through you. Hallelujah. Because if you think that Jesus just wants you to be problemed all the days of your life, you're thinking the wrong thing. Your persecution should come as a result of your standing up for Jesus. Amen. That's where your persecution ought to come from. If it's coming from any other direction, it's because it's something that we're doing that's not right, and it's keeping us in captivity when God has called us to liberty and freedom. Isaiah says it like this. First, Amos says it, or Isaiah says it before him. He says, my people are brought into captivity for a lack of knowledge. That's Isaiah chapter 5, I think it's around verse 13. My people are brought into captivity for a lack of knowledge. Hosea in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. But then in Hosea, he says, because they have rejected knowledge, I will reject them from being priests. And he goes on, like people, like priests. The priest is doing this and the people are doing it too. And so it's all a bunch of wickedness, and God says that ain't right. So, this man is sitting here at this gate, and daily he's begging to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, because they knew church people had money. That's a good place for you to say amen, unless you don't have no money. Praise God. I thought I was in the right place. I thought God's people were blessed. Hallelujah. I thought they were blessed in the city, blessed in the field. But see, when we start talking about money, all of a sudden we get quiet because it's like they're going to ask for money. They're going to ask for money. They're going to ask for money. You were created to be liberal in your finances. Amen. What does that mean? I'm not saying buy into the liberalism that goes on out in the world, but I'm talking about to be free in your finances, in your giving. You are not, God didn't raise you up to be a tightwad. Amen. A wise steward, yes, but a tightwad, no. Mm-mm. He expects us to give. He expects us to do great things. He expects us to give to the poor, even lend to the poor. He says, he that lendeth to the poor, lendeth unto the Lord, and the Lord will repay him. So we don't have to look for our money with interest to come back from the person that we gave it to. We simply trust God, and he will repay us for what we've given. But God expects us to do things like that and carry out the great exploits in his name. So this man, here he is, in his normal daily routine, begging. He's got what I call and others have called a victim's spirit. Always expecting somebody to feel sorry for them. And there's too many in the body of Christ that are like that. It happened in the world. It developed in the world. It was conceived in the world. And it migrated into the church when you got saved. And Jesus is like this, not anymore, okay? That old man, that old nature, you know, it's get rid of that. And as you grow in your faith, I'm not putting anybody down, but as you grow in your faith, you're going to stop depending on government and start depending on God. Amen. You're not going to let your destiny, you're not going to let your income, you're not going to let your financial situation be determined by government. You're going to let it be determined by God. You're going to break away from that government system that is broken, and you're going to embrace faith and embrace kingdom principles rather than worldly ways of living. Amen? Hallelujah. You're not going to be looking for Section 8. I didn't get too many amens. I got maybe a couple of them. Praise God. You're not going to be looking for reduced rent. You might be doing that right now, but that's that little eaglet that don't want to get out the nest. Amen? No, God wants you free. And he wants to show you how he's able to provide for you to sustain yourself and be a blessing to others as well. Amen? This is not a lot of hype, not a lot of, you know, just jargon. This is the truth of God's word. Jesus says this, and Sister Jernigan quoted it, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. What is that saying? Jesus is saying, be consumed with me and my ways of doing things, and I'll add to you all those other things that you feel that you need that are occupying your thoughts and ways right now. Some of us, we stress over a bill not being paid. We stress over our incomes being cut. We stress over getting laid off on the job. We stress off of these things. And God says, which one of you can add one cubit to his stature by stressing over all of that mess? We stress about how our employer treats us. And this is where the life of Jacob and Joseph come into play. Why do I say that? Because especially with Joseph, under such adverse conditions, God still prospered him. I'm trying to get there. He still prospered Joseph. Joseph, his brothers were angry and upset because they knew that their daddy favored Joseph over them. He was like, to them, probably a spoiled brat. Had his father's love. And so they plot to get rid of him. They take him and they throw him in a pit. Then they reconsider and say, okay, well, let's not do that. And they see the Ishmaelites coming, and they're on their way into Egypt. And so they sell them to the Ishmaelites as a slave. And then they take him into Egypt, and he's sold into Potiphar's house. All of this because of two dreams that he had. For some of you who have a bulletin, you'll notice that it's in two parts. You'll see on the top, you'll see what are sheaves. On the front cover, sheaves, and then below you'll see stars and moon, if you will. And they both relate to the dreams that Joseph dreamed. And Joseph was excited about his dream, not fully understanding his dreams, but he was excited to share with his family what he dreamed. And when he shared it with them, instead of them rejoicing with him, they became angry. They hated him. They despised him. They wanted to get rid of him. So when Jacob told him on this certain day, go out there and find your brothers, see how they're doing and feeding the flocks and take them some food and, you know, and then come back to me and let me know what's going on. Because Joseph was also a tattletale. He'd tell if they'd be doing something wrong. You know how it is. Did anybody have somebody like that? They go and tell on you. Minister Denise was a tattletale. She told. So my sisters didn't want her hanging around them. That's how it is when you got somebody in the crowd that goes back and tells everything that's going on when you're doing something bad, something you shouldn't be doing. We had other names for them, snitches and things like that.
I was pretty good, even in my bad days. By that I mean this. I was caught doing something I shouldn't have been doing, and I could have easily told on the person that I was doing it for. And, you know, in our day, you couldn't be no snitch. That's how we came up. You know, you can't be no snitch. I don't know if anybody still, do they still think like that, or y'all afraid to say? Y'all don't want me to know what you do. If you're, you know, especially in jail. Yeah, you snitch? Oh, boy, you're going to die tonight. But anyways, Joseph was that kind of guy. He would report his brother's wrongdoings and all. So they threw him in a pit. They decided to sell him. They sold him. And then they took him and sold him. And he's in Potiphar's house. And so he's a slave. Now, after he had that dream, those two dreams, for 13 years, he's going under some adverse conditions. But even in the midst of the adversity, God is still with him. And in the midst of adversity, God is still with you. It's not one plus one is two, two plus two is four, dot, dot, dot. God is still, even in adversity, even when your employer is doing you wrong, like Laban did Jacob, God is still with you. And he wants to show himself strong. When you're persecuted, not for being late, not for taking long breaks, not for not doing your job, but you're persecuted because of your stand for righteousness, the word of God says you're blessed. It also says that the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. So rejoice. Amen. But now, if you're late, like I said earlier, if you're late or you're taking long breaks or you don't go to work, you call in a lot, then you can expect to get fired or written up or something like that, and rightly so, because they expect something out of you that even God expects, which is character. And we'll see, even with Joseph, that the word that God gave him in the dream, that word tried him until the appointed time in order to perfect character in Joseph. See, God ain't going to just leave you alone and just let you fly, you know, any old kind of way. Well, I was like this in the world, so I'm like this in the kingdom. God says, no, you're not in the world no more. Kingdom don't operate like that. And so God will work things out in you, and he's patient. He's loving, he's kind, he's merciful, but he's also judge. And he's a father, and any good father will discipline their children. A good mother as well will discipline their children. Why? Not because they hate the child, but it's because they're trying to perfect something in the child, which is obedience, which is going to bless them in the long run in their life. And that's what God wants you to do. Amen. Am I making any sense? So here you have this guy, and he's sat there, and he's, you know, it's from his mother's womb. And to me, when I was looking at that, all of a sudden, the Spirit of God just quickened me, and I'm not adding to or taking away from. And he was just saying, this is how we cripple our children. We nurse them in their situations or circumstances, and we never help them to develop. We never help them to grow. We never give them a push that they need. We came up under the orders, I'll just say, the orders of, if you can't dance to my music, it's time for you to go, you know? You know, if you can't abide by my rules, it's time for you to go. You're not an adult until you're 21 years old. You're 18 years old, you're working, you're providing for yourself out there, but you're still not an adult. You've heard that before. But if we weren't going to dance by the rules, see, with us, we couldn't wait to fly. Because we knew that, you know, we just thought we knew more. And we just couldn't wait to get our freedom. And so mom didn't have to push us out. It was like, we go home. And we were ready to soar. But many, not all, even during our generation and time, many were staying with their parents. And I'm not saying that to condemn, but it's just, it's not right. It's not the proper way to do things. You know, you should be out of your mother's home, parents' home by 21. Now, I heard earlier about talking about education. I think it was Sister Jernigan, and she was making the stating the fact that many of, like, the people that she was working with at her former job, they were educated to work on the motorcycles, but they had them working in parts. And some people go to school, and then they can't even work in their major because there's no job out there. And so they end up going back to school and spending more money and becoming more in debt because there's nothing out there for them to do. In our day, we had the steel mill. It's still around, but not like it used to be. We had Continental Can. We had Louisiana Pacific or Fiberboard. We had Gaylord. We had Glass Container. We had some factories around here that paid some good salaries and gave some good benefits, and a lot of people benefited off of that. Then the EPA started taking control and started shutting down these industries, making them seem like they're the bad people. And mind you, if they're doing something wrong, yeah, fix the wrong, but don't shut them down. And so they shut a lot of companies down, and you don't have that many jobs anymore. I mean, you can only make so much off of retail. Retail is in there for a profit, and their profits aren't that large. Their profit margin isn't all that great. So they pay people like $8 an hour or something like that. But how far can you go with $8 an hour? That is only $320 a week. Some people make that off of welfare. So to them, it's like, what am I going to work for? I get more money staying at home than I would. Or by the time I pay child care, I ain't going to have much left, so I'll just stay on this system. And that system is designed to keep you poor. That system is designed to keep you out of the will of God and constantly dependent upon government. Amen. Well, what am I do if I can't work? Look at what happened to this man. Now, some people settle for, and I'm not putting them down, some people settle for holding up a sign saying, we'll work for food, can you help me, you know, I'm hungry, dot, dot, dot. Families out there doing the same thing. Some of them are out there because they are desperate. Some of them are out there because it's like, hey, man, this is some easy money. But that's not the will of God concerning them. God gave them a body that houses a soul, and when they get born again, his spirit. And God will turn situations around for them just as surely as they turned it around for this man here. Daily, everybody say daily. Daily. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, probably even on the Sabbath, Friday at 6 p.m. to Saturday. As long as the people were coming to the temple, they sat him there to beg for alms. And he was content with that. But Peter and John came, and this day they're going to seek God. They're going to seek God on their way to pray 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and they see him. And this man looks at them, and he's like, alms for the poor. Are you against the poor? No. Jesus said, you'll always have the poor with you. But did you know that poor or poverty is a result of the curse of the law? The reason we don't forget about preaching the gospel to the poor is so that they will know that God cares for them. And just like God will do things for us, he will do things for them. He will lift them up out of that poverty and bring them into the wealth of the kingdom. Our problem is we don't have enough faith and confidence in the God that we say we love and serve. Because man can tell us, you're going to be that way for the rest of your life. God can say, by Jesus' stripes you're healed. We'll believe, man, you're going to be that way for the rest of your life. And that's what we'll walk around with. That's how we'll live every day. They said, I'm going to be like this for the rest of my life. I'm not putting anybody down trying to make anybody feel bad or condemned. I'm just saying, this is how it is. And we got to settle this thing. Are we going to live by kingdom principles, or are we going to still live by the subpar, substandard ways of life as an ungodly, uncircumcised Philistine out there who is without hope and without God? Am I making any sense? So this man was out here at the temple with a victim's spirit, looking for somebody to feel sorry for him. And Peter them put their eyes, they set their eyes on him. Verse 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Now this is what the church needs to be able to say to people. Amen. We got to get ourselves in the position to be able to say that. Glory to God. I'll keep saying it whether you appreciate it or not. We must get ourselves in the position to say, well, look on us. Hallelujah. Because it's not us that they're looking at. It's the goodness and the glory of God that's on our lives. But they won't see it because God is a spirit. But when they see his manifestations on you, because the same God that did things for us is the same God that will do things for them and will do things for you. He's not a respecter of persons. He works in every area. God is not going to deliver me from stuff that I had going on in my life and then not deliver you. And we're believing in the same Jesus? Come on, man. Give me a break. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. You got something. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. His faith level probably sunk. Man, you ain't got silver and gold. That's what I'm after. That's what I need. Silver and gold wasn't going to lift him out of his dilemma. Silver and gold was going to help him to stay in that dilemma. Thank you. As long as people continued to give him what he was asking for, he would never get what he needed. Because that's where his level of faith was. I'm speaking to you, if you could just, you know, let this translate. The Holy Ghost will speak to you. Because Jesus hasn't called us to live a victimized life. We are overcomers. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. We're overcomers. We're not underachievers. We're not looking for handouts. Why? David said it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack. Paul said it like this. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He was speaking to those that were supporting the work of God. Listen, God is able to do this, to do what? God is able to supply you to give more than what you could actually give. Figure that one out. Figure what Paul was saying. You gave beyond your ability. I know what your income is. And you gave beyond that something. If he can multiply fish and loaves, he can multiply your finances too. Don't limit Jesus. Don't limit him. Come on, church. We think God's trying to take stuff away from us, like God is that man on the side, alms for the poor. Well, you know, Jesus did say, when you did this unto them, we did it unto. Give me a break. Peter fastening his eyes, verse 5, and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Peter said, silver and gold I don't have, but such
as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, representing all that that name represents. That's when you say in the name of Jesus, it's all that that name represents. If it's salvation, it's in that name. If it's healing, it's in that name. If it's deliverance, it's in that name. If it's peace, it's in that name. Everything that is in that name. When you say in the name of Jesus, all that that name represents, the power that comes with it. It's in his name. In his name. Look at your neighbor and say, in his name. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Verse 7, next verse. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Before that man could even think, Peter had already moved on it, pulled him up before he could think about it. Next thing you know, he's healed. He's healed. He's walking. He's jumping. He's leaping. He's praising God. For him, he's probably thinking, all I wanted was just a dollar. I never expected God to do this for me. Now I can go and make me more than a dollar. Now I don't have to beg. I can get up. Now I don't have to be a victim. I can be victorious. Hallelujah! 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 This is who we are. We're more than conquerors. We're not a victim. Life can deal us some of the most devastating blows. Look at the life of Jacob. Look at the life of Joseph. He's in there. He's doing such an excellent job that Potiphar makes him ruler of his house. You're over everything in my house except for my wife. Joseph was a handsome young man. And Potiphar's, you okay? Okay. Emmanuel's getting excited too. He's like, preacher. Let's see, what am I, Nino or what is it? What's Godfather? Never mind. Yes. Espanol. Come on. Never mind. Part of that song? Never mind. Something like that. Anyways, he said, preach it. Preach it. I can't wait to get out so I can run around the church. Ah! I'm excited. Hallelujah. So, Potiphar's wife cast longing eyes after him, and daily she's like, lie with me. And she wasn't an ugly duckling. She wasn't a chicken head or a mud duck. Those were the names that we used in our day. I don't know what y'all, don't use that B word. Please don't. No woman is that. That's a dog. She's not a dog. Amen. You call her out of honor and dignity. Respect her for who she is. Anybody call you something like that? Like Pastor John Hagee says, slap them until they hear freedom ring in their ears. Pow! domestic violence in reverse. She was after him daily, trying to seduce him. Lie with me, lie with me, lie with me. And he's operating in such integrity. Your husband has made me ruler over all this, everything I see, except for you. You're off limits. And one day she thought she had him trapped, and so she grabbed him. But he was so committed to his God with the spirit of excellence and integrity, he took off running. Boom. So don't ever settle, ladies, for, well, you know, he's just a man. He just do a man thing. If he's a Christian, he's got the Holy Ghost in him. Amen? He's got the Holy Ghost in him. So don't say, well, he's just a man, and, you know, men do what men do. No, if he's a Christian, bust him out. bust him out. If he don't repent, tell it to the church. Praise God. He's a cheat. Make him beg for mercy. Make him beg for mercy. Or her, for that matter. Make her beg for mercy. Amen. If they cheat. No, you got the Spirit of God on the inside of you to keep you. Our God is able to keep us from stumbling and falling. No temptation comes upon you except that which is common to man. But God with the temptation will make the way of escape that you might be able to bear it. Quote that to him or her. Say, no, you did it because you wanted to do it. Now, as soon as you'll be honest and repent of that, then maybe I can forgive you. But until you try and cover it up, well, it was because of this. Well, it's because you don't pay me no attention. Well, it's because you don't listen to me. Well, it's because I was hung. I was lonely. Well, it's because they gave me. No, don't listen to none of that if they're saved. If they're ungodly, then, yeah, you can expect that. They're going to make up excuses. It's just lust. Lust unchecked, like sin unchecked, is destructive. I'm trying to stop. So she comes at him. He runs. She tells those in the household, the people, the workers. She tells Potiphar. Potiphar has him thrown in prison. He's in prison. He's doing time now for something he did not do. He's now in jail, an innocent man in jail for something he did not do. He maintained his integrity. He was wrongly charged, and they threw him in the innermost prison. But in there, because his heart was still right, God gave him favor, made him ruler in the prison. The jailers, they brought everybody to Joseph. Whatever Joseph says, that's what goes. Joseph. That's how it is when God's hand is upon you. And this is how we have to learn how to deal with these adverse conditions and these thorns that get put in our comfort zone. Somebody comes and speaks a word, and they may say something wrong to us, and or they may do something wrong to us, or, you know, they may wrongfully accuse us. Don't take that victim spirit. Even in the midst of that, Joseph still did what was right. And he was made ruler in the prison. And so because he kept himself, God made a way for his escape. Not that he had to escape, but there were two men who had dreams, and they were right there with Joseph. Joseph comes in. He says, what's wrong with y'all guys? Why your countenance is so low? Like some Sunday mornings when we come in. That was funny, whether you laugh or not. Okay. Oh. Stand to your feet. The butler and the baker. The butler has a dream. Joseph interprets the dream. The dream is so good that the baker can't wait to give his dream because he thinks he's going to get a good word too. So he tells his, and Joseph says, I'm sorry, but in 3 days your head is going to come off. Pharaoh's going to cut your head off. You're going to die, and the birds will eat you. And so he says to the butler, just remember me as you're set free. Remember me. Make mention of me. And the guy forgot about him. So that's another setback. But his heart is right. He keeps his heart right before God. It's so important that we keep our heart right before God, even in adversity, even in the midst. It's vitally important that we don't let situations make us bitter. Or we allow it to make us better. Amen? So Joseph is, and you can read it. So Joseph is there, and he's like, man, first my brother's in the pit. Then I get sold into slavery. I'm in Potiphar's house. I get lied on. Then I get thrown in prison. These men come to me. I interpret the dreams. I interpret it accurately. It's not me. It's the Spirit of God that gives me the interpretation. But I do this, and the guy forgets about me. But old Pharaoh has a dream. And God gives Joseph the ability to interpret dreams. And he has a dream that nobody can interpret. And so the butler's like, hello,
I remember a man who interpreted my dream for me, and he was accurate. And he told the other man, and it was accurate about that. So let me go get him. And this is the thing. They told Joseph, you're getting ready to go before Pharaoh. Mind you, 13 years has gone by since he's been in Egypt. 13 years. We got to be able to handle more than 2 weeks, okay? Amen. Glory. Can't be coming in with a letter of resignation because for 2 weeks you've been doing me this way. No, we're not giving up. 13 years of this kind of treatment. But because his heart was right, he gets brought before Pharaoh. And before he goes before him, he cleans himself up. He shaves himself. He gets himself ready to go before Pharaoh. Come on, man. Get the revelation. Clean yourself up as you're getting ready to go before God. Come on, man. Come on. Clean this stuff up. Stop holding on to it. Make yourself ready for the promotion that God has in store for you. After he interpreted the dream, he went from a pit warmer to a slave to a prisoner to governor over all the land. What's being held up by our holding on to something we need to let go? I'm preaching better than your response. I'm sorry. I got a lot in me. I told you it was a good message. What's being held up? Because we won't let something go. What is worth holding on to that keeps you out of the will of God? We think God's got some plan to just make us miserable. No, God had a plan to make Joseph ruler over Egypt, to be a preserver of life, to be a preserver over his family, that when that famine came that nobody knew about except God, and he revealed it by a dream to Pharaoh, and it took Joseph to interpret it, to tell him what was going to go on. 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. And this is what you need to do. And Pharaoh's like, man, we got to put somebody over this program in order to make it work. And Joseph's like, here I am. Here I am. Get yourself in position. Get yourself, make yourself ready. Hallelujah. Make yourself ready for what God wants to do. You heard promotion. Who does that? Promotion for, you know, it's not just coincident. Promotion for husband and wife all in the same month, July 2nd and July 30th. Who does that? Come on. Who does that? For one household. It's one thing when the husband gets the promotion. It's like, oh, yeah, praise God. Happy, happy, happy. It's another thing when, oh, I got a promotion too. Oh, bless God. Amen. Amen. And you don't know what God has in store. Hallelujah. Brother Joshua's got a business going. He just got his contractor's license, and he's ready to go. He's ready to help the kingdom, help people that are helpless. He's ready to empower that man at the gate to say, man, come on, come on. No, you don't need to sit there and beg for alms. Come on, let me help you up. You can work for it now. You can work, and then you can bless somebody else as God has blessed him. This is what this is all about. God is too good to act like he is not around and he don't care about what's going on. And too much happening. Too much happening. As we put up there on the screen, Deacon Posada and Sister Lauren expecting. I just, you know, I mean, you got Sister Maria who's about ready to go. Emmanuel is about to come out. And guess what God did to her a couple of weeks ago? God told her, this one's name is Emmanuel, and then Ezekiel's coming next. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? It's
So she's got a baby coming. Preacher man and Sister Shantavia got a baby coming. Isn't that something? Hallelujah. So I bump Dez and say, you next. Some of y'all are like, who's this?
Birth families, kingdom families. You know, the Pattons got four kids, and it's like, you got kingdom family. This is what this is all about. You're not trying to raise them to be the latest entertainer. You know, don't be putting them out there to try and get them in this worldly stuff. You're raising up kingdom family. Let them be a doctor or a lawyer for Jesus. Let them be a businessman or businesswoman for Jesus. Let them do things that are pleasing in the eyesight of God. Don't have them out there dancing and, you know, doing suggestive dirty dancing and stuff like that. It's amazing how these kids can imitate these people that have no relationship with Jesus, and they can't even quote Psalms 23. No, your blessing, your provision, your future is in the kingdom of God. It's not in the world. Don't look to the world. You came out of the world, so don't look to the world to be your source and your resource. Look to God. Seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. Everything else will be added to you. Don't worry about a thing. Your worrying ain't going to add one cubit to your stature. You ain't going to grow. All you're going to do is do more damage to your body. Trust God. Serve him. Seek him daily. And then watch him work on your behalf. Amen. Watch him work. Watch him work. Hallelujah. Praise God. We need to represent. We're going to represent somebody. Let's represent Jesus. Rep the King. Repping for my Savior. Yeah, that's about it I could do right now, preacher man. But, you know, since you never put me on the CD, I just, you know. I would clam up. Come on, Pastor, go for it. I can't think of what to say. I would clam up. All right, I'm done, really. I've kept you too long. But if you appreciate it, give God the glory. Hallelujah. Jesus. And in your time with the Lord, you can read about the life of Jacob and Joseph and see how it parallels to us today and what God wants to do in and through us, what he wants to do with your life. Praise God. Father, we just thank you. Thank you for the word that has gone forth. Thank you for the people that were patient to hear and receive what you had to say. I pray that none go away disappointed, none go away empty-handed. None go away troubled. None go away, Father, in bondage, but all walk out of here free in Jesus. I pray that the word that was spoken shall bear fruit 1,000 times over, causing us to be fruitful. May you increase us 1,000 times over, Jesus. We give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In your mighty name, as we leave out of this place, Lord, let the blessing and favor of God be upon each and every one that is here. And as I pronounce the blessing upon them, Father, let those words not return to you void, but accomplish the very thing you please and prosper in the very one that you sent it to. May it continue to cause your grace to abound towards us, and we see and live and walk in the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now the Lord our God bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance over you and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he might bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and that above all else you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. That the gates of hell will not prevail against you, but you will triumph over the gates of hell, because you are the church of the living God, the pillar and truth, the foundation, mainstay, prop, and support of the truth. And Father, we thank you and give you praise, both now and forevermore, in Jesus' name. Amen.